is a collection of stooges talking about the happenings in the automotive detailing industry. It is meant to be comedic and informative. The opinions expressed on the show do not necessarily reflect the beliefs of their peers, their boss, or their ad partners. There may be some cuss words because that's how grown-ups talk in the real world. If you are a young, please seek permission before watching or listening any further.
Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. I'm Alex. He's Jason. What's up? Trying to switch it up for you, man. You want equal billing, so I give you equal billing.
No, we're not equals no more, man.
No? Okay.
Oh, man. I even tried to remind you by writing it in the title of my name.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Not gonna happen. You're technically not immortal just because your name is gonna live on forever. I mean, we're all of our names are gonna live on forever. I mean, we're all immortal.
Yeah, but then. Mine. No. How's yours gonna live?
How's mine gonna live on forever? I don't know. This little thing that we're talking into is never gonna go away. It'll always be there for people to listen to.
20 years from now, nobody's gonna remember this shit.
Bet.
20 years. Dude. In 20 years, people go to that museum and still see my picture.
Okay. What about my book that I've written 20 years from now? That'll still be
around. You didn't even fucking
sell it. It's out there. It's out there.
Yeah, maybe promote it a little
more. It's on
more.
Amazon.
Maybe
somebody wants to go. Somebody wants it. Go get it on Amazon. It's called Sydney versus the Squirrels. Or Sydney versus the Tigers.
It's actually pretty fucking cool.
Yeah. Hey, so how's your sober October going?
It hurts.
So for anybody who's listening that didn't see the post, we are participating in a Joe Rogan style Sober October, where we kind of more on the fitness side than the actual sober side, I think, because all of us that are in our group aren't really drinkers or partake in the drugs. So we're dieting, we're working out. It's tough, man, but you know what? I feel good. I feel good 3 days in, four days in. The pain feels good.
I mean, I've been actually getting better sleep. So I'm not gonna. Dude,
me too. The last two nights,
it's really
especially.
Cool because I wake up like almost every 2 hours with the puppy because she still can't hold her bladder yet. Uh-huh. But I'm still getting good sleep no matter what. Like. I wake up, I go to school, I feel great. Yeah, it's we've been doing it for a week now, right? Almost a week.
Well, since Sunday, 4 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So already 4 days, I see an improvement in my sleep. So, yeah. You know.
It's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
So, all right, you want to jump into a commercial break so we can get to our special guest tonight and talk about this AI robotics detailing topic we got going on here?
Let's do it.
We'll be right back.
Fiber has every pad you would need, including tire pads. Towels, got them. Windows, wheels, interiors, paint. The all-new mitt on a stick for hitting taller vehicles or the new bug sponge for fronts. And then we have the Dragon Wash Sponge Mitt. It's perfect for the two-bucket system. Glides on the cars, easy, soft on the paint. Hey, don't forget, go watch us on YouTube, check out our channel, and in the barrel blade, it's perfect for getting in between those tight wheels, calipers. We also have the Dreadknot. It's the staple of all auto fiber towels. If you're not using it to dry, you're missing out. And in the new wheel paw, for getting those faces, getting in between spokes, getting the lug nuts, all those hard to reach places. So go to autofiber.com. Make sure to use the code DSP at checkout.
Hey, everybody. Rennie Doyle here, founder of the Detail Mafia and Detailing Success. You know, I love quotes, and this is one of my favorites. It's not enough to do your best. You must know what to do, then do your best. There's a lot more to detailing than just making paint shiny. To be successful, you need to be a well-rounded detailer, and most importantly, an entrepreneur. At Detailing Success, I really take pride in that we will not only teach you the highest level detailing skills you need, but we will mentor and coach you to be a profitable business owner. Our advanced 5-day training is held monthly at my hometown, in the beautiful town, I may say, of Big Bear Lake, California. If you want to learn more, email me directly at rennie@detailingsuccess.com or visit detailingsuccess.com and ask about our special offer for our podcast listeners. Happy detailing, everybody. Take care. We'll see you next time.
All right. So our guest tonight needs no introduction, but we should probably say his name for people listening so they know. We've got the great Jason Rose. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
We're doing awesome. Yeah. We're so glad to have you back on. We appreciate
Thank you.
This.
Thank you. It's been a while. I don't recall exactly when, but
Chicago was the last time that you were on. Chicago. Yeah. Yep. So April. So it's been a while. But we had to get a good topic to have you back on again. And I think this maybe would be a good one. Hopefully maybe a great one. So just to kind of fill everybody in, Jason found a Facebook post that he sent me a few weeks back, and basically just talks about artificial intelligence driving paint correction with robots, how it's real and it's here to stay. There's 5 different robotic companies that have robots that can analyze paint. They can sand, change pads, spray, polish, etc. And they can even calculate the force to be able to create perfect paint. So, you know, I told Bruno that, you know, I go, well, that's, you know, obviously, yeah, in a manufacturer, you know, a car manufacturer or something like that. I don't think detailers are going to be rushing out to buy, robotic, you know, things or whatever, but, you know, Jason Rose, you're in a lot of that industry with Rupes and everything like that. So I think you probably see it more and know a little bit more about it. So we wanted to kind of get your wisdom on it.
Well, before we do that, I want to know how Alex feels about artificial intelligence. Where do you stand on AI?
I think it has its place. I mean, I think definitely, you know, with certain things, it's very helpful. I mean, me myself, if I'm going to try to write a post or something like that, it's very easy for me to go on ChatGPT and say, you know, like we haven't put it to anything yet, but I made a commercial for Autofiber on ChatGPT. I just went in and typed in, you know, company is called Autofiber, make a podcast commercial. It's all about microfiber. And like, it wrote out a legit ad that when I sent it to Ian's like, dude, that's brilliant, who wrote it? And I'm like, ChatGPT. So, you know, but I think, I mean, you know, obviously Skynet, you know, comes into mind, and you worry about you know, you worry about Terminator coming and taking over. So, you know,
they're already here, man. They're already in SoFi Stadium and everything. You saw that shit?
yeah So I mean, take it I guess how you want it. I mean, I know how you feel, obviously, about, you know, getting into the graphic world, the graphic design world, that, you know, it's a cheat or whatever.
I mean, it's helpful, yes, but I also believe that it takes away from a lot of creativity.
Of course, yeah, exactly. So now we'll let Jason talk.
Mr. Yes, Rose. Jason. Rosie. I'm just gonna call him Rosie.
Jason, is it your birthday or something? Somebody said happy birthday to you in the chat comment.
Yeah, I'm curious who that is.
Oh, Sarah said it's your birthday today. Well, happy birthday. Should we all sing him happy birthday?
Happy birthday, man.
Happy birthday.
Do we have a happy birthday button?
No, we don't have a happy birthday button.
You got applauses and stuff, right?
Yeah.
Well.
Oh, man. We'll let the birthday boy take over. Go on.
For real?
So just, I want to first clarify some terms, just so we're on the same page on terms. And then also after that, I'll talk about, you know, the blessing and the reality for me is I have the ability to travel around the world and see detail operations in other countries. And I've seen things. I'm not an expert in AI by any means. I'm not going to claim to be, but I've seen things, and I've talked to people that are implementing AI in our business, in our industry. So I have some things I can share. But the first thing is I just want to establish some baseline on terms. Now, when we're talking about AI in automotive detailing, robotics seems to be the image that pops into people's heads.
Right.
But I want to clarify that there's a difference between robotics and AI. So AI, robotics, and robotics by itself. So robotics, if you have a machine that is programmed to do certain things, and it will do what it's programmed to do, which could be programming a machine to polish paint, right?
Yeah.
That's robotics. AI comes into play when the robot now has the ability to be predictive, to have a decision tree on their own and actually be decisive and change direction on its own. So that is the difference between robotics and AI. So AI is more than just a robot going through motions. It's the ability of a machine to actually think through what its next step is and what it's going to do 10 steps down the road. That's what AI is.
Right, because robotics, it's just being programmed in. And so if it's programmed in to only go left and right, right, it'll only go left and right. Whereas, yeah, like you're saying, with the AI, it has a mind of its own to move the polisher left to right, to back to left, up and down, whatever it sees fit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Now there can be pretty sophisticated robotics that can actually, you know, scan a car panel and then make a landscape and then move a tool or an instrument across that landscape. So robotics can be very, very sophisticated and still not be at the level of AI. So AI is like a whole nother level.
Okay.
It's calculation, it's predictive, and it can actually change its mind and do something else based on data. And that's the difference between these two. So I just wanted to kind of clarify that part.
Right.
But I also want to say, because your title across the top says, you know, will AI eventually make it into paint correction? And the answer is it's already here.
It's already here. Yeah. Yeah. I think I kind of meant more like into the shops, right? Cause like we think about it more of, you know, in the detailed shop world versus the manufacturer world. So yeah.
So the thing that I've seen, and some people might be aware of a international or a global trade show called Auto Mechanica. The last one in Germany, Auto Mechanica, had actually several different examples throughout that trade show of robots polishing on paint and robots sanding on automotive substrates.
Oh, wow.
So it is already there. It's happening. Now, I don't personally understand the sophistication of those robots. I don't know if it goes to the level of AI, but it's obvious that it's a robot polishing car paint.
Yeah.
I'm also aware that there's a lot of robotics and AI that is entering currently right now into the automotive car wash industry. They've already had mechanical programmable, you know, robots for years, but now AI is getting in there a little bit more into that industry. But I wanted to share that the landscape and the environment where AI is kind of being birthed into it and where it's going to really explode is kind of a convergence of several different forces, if you will, or several different realities. One of them is in large volume operations. So if there's a company, a facility, and it's automotive related, and it has to do with a huge scale of cars. So those kind of companies, and there's lots of them, there's manufacturing cars, there's processing cars through distribution, there's reconditioning cars and on a very large scale. So think about that. That one piece of it is if you have an operating business that is a very large scale with many, many cars being touched. So that's one facet. The other thing is repetitive motion procedures. So if you have businesses where cars are going through an assembly line and you're doing the same thing over and over and over, just like making or assembling a car in a car factory.
Right.
Robots and AI do that very well because it's repetitive motion. It's the same movement over and over and over and over and over and over. So large scale, repetitive motion. And then the other factor that's in contributing to this is areas or markets that have high labor rates, so human labor rates. A country or a city or an area where it costs a lot to have a human being do something. That environment, high labor rate, repetitive motion, large scale, you're going to find that robotics and AI is going to be used or is already being used right now. It's right. Heading that way.
Yeah.
It's like the perfect storm of environment to make that stuff blossom.
Right. Well, Jason Cavallo commented, he said, robots will listen better than employees and won't make the same mistakes. So sign me up for AI employees.
See, it's comments like that that make me believe that these kind of people have never watched Terminator, they've never watched iRobot, or anything to do with this kind of stuff. That is just a...
Yeah.
That is a, well, I think
the difference for right now, though, is like Jason saying, Jason Rhodes is saying, right, is that it's a robotic arm. So, you know, I guess unless you get close enough for it to reach out and grab you or something, you should be okay.
So this is where I see AI going. And like I said, it's actually already in those environments. So again, if you think of those three things, big scale, repetitive motion, high human labor rates, it's just a bed of, you know, goodness for blossoming robotics and AI, and people are going to invest in that. Now, where I've seen this is not in the United States. Right. I haven't seen it here.
Okay.
Where I've seen this, and I've actually been in a building, I can't tell you the name of the company because I signed a confidentiality agreement, but in Switzerland, which, by the way, has, I'm checking the boxes on what I just told you. It's a big scale operation. Repetitive motion. They do the same thing on all the cars as it goes by, and very high labor rates in Switzerland. They are already using robotics to polish paint, and they're using an AI component for this. And what's happening is it's a reconditioning center that gets many, many different shapes of cars, different brands, you know, big, small, old, new. It's the biggest reconditioning facility I've ever been to in my life.
Okay.
It's absolutely huge. Cars come in by train. It's just thousands of cars. And they told me the number of cars they touch every day. And if I told you what that number is, you would just be blown away. You're like, what? It is thousands of cars they touch every single day.
Jeez. What kind of cars are they touching? Is it just like a random?
It's anything and everything. It's not one particular brand, but it's an independent reconditioning facility that contracts with the car dealers and the car manufacturers all throughout the country. And they just send cars there because they know they can run through that operation and get it done quick and get their car right back. It's very, very automated. And the AI that's being applied there has to do with, imagine an assembly line and it's going down and all different shapes and different models, different brands. So not only can the robot adjust itself and its procedure to the car that's in front of it, but it also remembers that car.
Oh, wow.
It remembers that shape. It remembers this model and this shape. So other cars go through. The next time that same car comes through, it already knows the landscape and the shape, and it's like, oh,
right.
I remember that car. It jumps into this subroutine, and it just jumps in and does what it does. Now, what it also does is there are situations, as you know, with paint thickness. And it can actually run this diagnostics where, because the first thing it does is it analyzes the paint first. So, you know, these probes and these devices look at the car and say, what color is it? Does it have metallic? Is it base coat? Is it single stage? How thick is it? It has a device that measures hardness, you know, how hard is the paint? So it gathers this information, it gathers this analysis, and then it comes up with a procedure based on what it discovered on paint thickness and hardness and gloss level and all this stuff. So this is where
it probably does all of that in like the matter of seconds or minutes too, right? I mean, like, this isn't,
it's like
a person down. Would take all day to figure all that out.
Like, if you and I took, even if we had all of these instruments, it would take us I would say 30 minutes to use each of these devices. And like, let me see how thick the paint is, let me see what the gloss is, let me check the DOI, let me check the R-spec, let me look at the wavelength of the paint. Let me, you know, look at all these things. We would do device after device after device after device. We'd write all this information down. It would take 30 minutes for us to collect all this.
Right.
Even if you had all the devices.
Yeah.
You know, but this does it in seconds. And then this is the powerful thing about what it does, is it can do a different procedure based on things like paint thickness, paint hardness. It can adjust. It adjusts to the car.
Yeah.
And then it collects that data, and now it applies it to the next car. So it's, to me, that is just crazy thinking, crazy. And I know the technology in AI is much more powerful than everything I just described to you, but when you apply it to the one act of machine polishing car paint, to me, what I saw there in Switzerland was just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
it did a good job then.
Yeah. Huh?
So it did a good job then.
Of course, yeah. It would outmaneuver, outthink, outproduce a human being any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
And the finish,
better watch out.
Yeah, and the finish quality is like, you wouldn't be able to tell a difference between yourself or some of the best detailers in the world were doing it versus the robot. You wouldn't be able to tell a difference.
Well, and this is the reason I was there. So the people that applied this technology at this facility, the reason I was called in is because they wanted the answer to that same question you had.
So you were John Henry, and the robot was the steam driving machine, right?
So what I did discover, though, is, and they probably already corrected it by now, but on the edge work, like on the outside of panels and stuff, they weren't as precise as what a human being can do. If you know, like us, if we're trained to do precision edge work around the edge of a panel and to remove defects and create clarity and gloss in the outside inch of every panel, we as humans, we have the ability to get more precise in areas than that robot was able to, let's put it that way.
Okay.
One for the humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, but I mean, didn't hear the part before where Jason said he gave them the critique on it and they probably already fixed it.
Yeah, I know. At least we had that one win for that short amount of time. Jeez, man, you just are like a Debbie Downer, man.
So I've seen that. I've also actually seen what the car wash industry is doing. And like I said, they're heading into some crazy robotics to robotically, you know, clean cars. I've also seen in the medical industry, this actually happened several years ago. There are these, do you know what a parabolic chamber is?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so in the medical industry, these parabolic chambers, they have to be polished in a very precise way. So the optics in these chambers have to be like spot on. And they discovered that when humans are polishing them, they can get pretty close, but it didn't have the precision and the consistency across the whole chamber that they wanted. So they applied robotics and they're polishing that parabolic chamber with robots, and it's coming out much more precise and much more consistent.
Wow.
So that was another way I've seen this happen. I'm aware, I haven't seen it, but I'm aware that glass in cars, you know, the final polishing on automotive front windshield glass, bunch of robotics applied to that. I'm trying to think of other automotive related. I think that's all I got for you. But the other comment I want to share with you, just to kind of look into the future a little bit. I had a conversation with somebody at a BMW facility, and we were talking about AI and stuff. And here's an interesting thing that was shared. So what is going to happen going forward is the connectivity between massive computer systems in different organizations. So, but there's going to be this point where they can be connected. For example, car companies, they have their whole automotive design team, right?
Right.
And it's mostly actually a whole nother building of people. It's another design facility somewhere else. And they collect a lot of things, and they have a lot of computer systems, and they do a lot with computers. And then you have the factory assembling and making cars, also using computers, also using robotics. And then you have the post-sale stuff that happens after a car is sold. All this, in fact, it's a whole nother segment of our automotive industry, is after a car is sold, there's all this predictive car care, you know, that goes on, and all these companies involved with what happens to a car after it's sold. Now, there's that whole world that happens after that. But what was explained to me is that in one scenario that was just fascinating to me, so the automotive design company or department computer designs, and they come up with these shapes of cars and all that. Well, imagine that whole data on the shape of a car, the thickness of the substrate, you know, all the data that goes with the pieces on a car before it's thrown together. Imagine if that information is connected with the production department that's assembling cars. So now they can take the shape and the weight and the size of a fender, and they can apply that same data in production, because now they know all the specs on this part, and now they can program all this assembly. And then what happens after that is that data can go to car dealerships, can go to mechanic facility, can go to car care facilities. That data can be linked and distributed. So imagine if detailers did have a robot, let's say, that's not happening now, but let's say we had a robot.
Right.
And then we were able to get data on a car from a customer that came into our shop. It comes in with the XYZ model, whatever. We're able to take data that came from all these other systems, put it into our robot, And now they know the whole landscape and everything on that fender. This is what was explained to me by this guy. He says, this is where this is heading. It's not only different parts of the whole food chain in how a car is made and all that, but it's the connectivity
right
between the systems. This is going to be crazy.
Yeah. That is nuts. Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I know. Listen, let's do a break real quick and then we come back. I want to ask you a question because maybe it'll be one that makes you think and maybe it'll just be a stupid question. I don't know. We'll find out after this.
We're right okay. Back.
Have some confidence.
If you have not yet tried Oberg's new APS soap, now is your chance to receive 15% off by using coupon code DSP, all capital letters. Oberg's new all-purpose soap is perfect for all your exterior washing needs. This unique formula combines plant-based cleaning power that is effective and versatile. Whether you are mobile washing or maintaining a ceramic-coated vehicle, APS soap works quickly and rinses easily. This super concentrated formula can also be used on really tough bugs and is very effective in dirty door jams. To find out more, please visit oberkcarcare.com.
Attention detail shop owners, say goodbye to the hassle of multiple orders from all different suppliers. Car Supplies Warehouse is here to revolutionize your shopping experience. We have created a comprehensive online platform where you can find everything you need all in one place. We are constantly expanding our product range, adding new supplies, tools, and equipment. Our goal is to make Car Supplies Warehouse your ultimate one-stop shopping destination. And we don't just stop at providing top quality products. We understand that knowledge is crucial for running a successful business. This is why we offer over 100 online videos specifically tailored to educate and empower businesses like yours. So grow your skills and run a successful business with our online training courses. We take our commitment to education even further by providing in-person training classes. Our expert instructors will guide you through hands-on sessions, sharing their wealth of knowledge and helping you take your shop to new heights. We also have an awesome discount program that ties everything together really nice. Enjoy exclusive benefits and saving as a Car Supplies Warehouse member. Join DetailWise Pro under the Save and Learn tab on our website, carsupplieswarehouse.com, and experience the advantages firsthand. And for a limited time only, we are offering a special deal just for Detail Solutions podcast listeners. Sign up for DetailWise Pro using code PRO30, and you're going to enjoy 30 days of free access and free discounts. There's no obligation. You can cancel anytime. So come discover what you've been missing.
Okay. So I guess I'm going to kind of go back to the John Henry, you know, versus the railroad machine kind of thing. So obviously I know like AI and robotics can be faster, probably more efficient, things like that. But do you think that, you know, humans don't ever want to be kind of one-upped in a sense, right? The workers. So do you think that there's a way that us as detailers or future detailers would be able to look and see at what that robotic arm would do or what that AI would do and be able to replicate it or duplicate it or be as good or better than it? Maybe not as fast and efficient, but again, because the emotion and the passion is there of a person versus a robot.
Yeah. So if I think I understand your question, My answer would be that I don't see for many customers and a big segment of our customer base, I don't think that AI is going to replace human detailers. Okay. I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
Because there are many car owners who are humans and they want to deal with humans.
Go figure.
Yeah. So I think that the division line, though, it's like this. The division line already exists in our business. So we know now there's lots of data that supports that car owners. There are car owners that are in one definition or one segment which don't care about how their car looks.
Right.
They view it as a means of getting from point A to point B. They don't care. There's also another segment of car owners where they care a little bit, but they don't care enough to spend the kind of money that detailers get for detailing a car. So they go to an automated car wash and they get the chunks washed off, and that's all they care about.
Right.
So this progression, as you can imagine, there's car owners that go all the way up this scale from I don't care at all to I care a lot, and I want meticulous, I want precise, and you know, I want a highly detailed car. So this is everybody in between, right? Are you with me so far?
Yep.
So if you look at those on the my right side, that I don't care, or I care a little bit, or you know, just get the chunks off, and then you got some people that, well, I want it a little bit shiny. On that side of the scale, robotics and AI is going to serve those customers better than humans can.
Yeah.
Because they don't care. They don't care about the human interaction. They don't. They just want the dirt off the car.
Right.
Or they don't even care about the dirt on the car. I know some car owners. I have one of my neighbors that he's never washed his car in his life. He's like, yeah. His car wash is Mother Nature when it rains. He's like, oh, I'm glad I got a car wash today. So there's different types of car owners. And on that side of the scale, I think robotics and AI is going to step up and it's going to serve them. Now on the other side of the scale where people really care about how their cars look, how they feel, there's also a subset in that category, and there are people that part of their hiring a detailer is the human aspect of it. Mm-hmm. It's not so much what they get out of the job. It's not so much the finished product, the car being detailed. There's many of them where it is a human thing. It's a human interaction. I'm a car enthusiast. You're a car detailer. I love our relationship. Let's keep this going. My car looks great. You're the one who does it. Now, in that situation, in those relationships, there is no AI, no robotics that's ever going to replace that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
So can you imagine, like, you know all the bullshit that goes on in the industry right now between details, complaining about other details, and can you imagine if by some godly chance AI comes into our industry, as Jason described, and starts like taking care of those kind of customers that don't care about human interaction? Can you imagine a detailer arguing on social media with an AI? They would get destroyed. It would be hilarious.
Well, I don't know. I remember a couple of weeks back you were arguing with AI on our Facebook page.
Being a smart ass.
Still AI.
Being a smart ass.
Still AI. So listen, man. You got suckered into
You know it. How I feel about AI. I you know, I've watched the Terminators and the iRobots. I don't trust robots. I don't trust AI.
Yeah.
So
so Jason and you know, with Jason Rose, with all of this kind of being said, how many more SEMAs do we have until we see the Rupes Bigfoot T-1000 robotic polisher? I'm sure you guys are already working on it. Like, I know you probably, it's probably one of those, like, I can't, if I tell you, I got to kill you kind of things, but.
Well, you know, we have our George, you know, George, the big Bigfoot thing in our booth. Yeah. You just had me imagining a robotic George. That's pretty funny. I think it's going to, I mean, I the way I see AI in not only our business, but in many businesses, is it is happening. And whether we like it or not, it's going to become part of our world. It's going to become in our face and part of our, you know, world in our business. And there's lots of regulatory issues right now. There's lots of government discussions over AI, because what's happening now is the technology is outpacing the ethics.
Right.
And this could hit our industry, where the technology outpaces the ethics and the corporate ethics and things like that. And it is scary. I agree with Jason Bruno that it's not a very likable vision when you think of it. It's not something that sounds good. It sounds scary. It sounds threatening.
Well, personally, I think it's something that we don't need. I'll be real. A lot of the stuff that replaces like human interaction or human, take Walmart for instance, like the whole self-checkout. Yeah, it's cool and everything, but now it's just annoying.
Yeah.
Like, but
I don't know.
I agree on that one. I hate self-checkout. I hate it.
See, I'm the opposite. I'd much rather go to self-checkout. I feel like it's faster. I feel like I don't have to have that, you know, uncomfortable, hey, how you doing? Oh man, this looks like it's gonna be yummy. Like, just scan my stuff, put it in a bag. I got places to go, you know? Like, I mean, I'm not like one of those people that's against the human interaction, but like a lot of times for me, going to the grocery store is a chore, right? Or going somewhere is a chore. So I just want to get in, I want to get out, I want to be done with it. So I
have some of that in me too. I avoid stores every chance I get. I have stuff delivered to my front doorstep. But when I do go to the store, I appreciate the human interaction because of what you said. It's a chore. It's something I got to do. I don't want to be there. I don't like it. So if I'm going to do it, I want to have a human experience because I'm there anyway.
Right. I
hate it that I got to walk up to a machine and push buttons and do something on a machine. If I'm given the choice, like some stores, there's the self-checkout, and over here is that one line that's open, but there's three people in it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go wait in line because I'm going to talk to somebody in line, and I'm going to talk to that person. Because if I got to do this chore, I at least want to have a human connection. That's how I feel.
I can understand that. I'm usually just wanting to get in and out, be done with it. Let's go.
And I want that too.
Yeah.
In fact, I try my best to not go in stores.
Yeah. Yeah. I got you. Yeah. So I don't know if you just dodged the question about when we'll see the Rupes T1000 R.
You know what? I can share this now because we're actually, we've been posting history of Rupes, and we've been posting images that we've never before shown from our factory in Italy. Uh-huh. We've always been very, you know, tight about it. But now we're starting to show images from our factory. We've had robots making stuff for years in Italy.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of our things is made by robots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got you. No, that'll be cool.
But I don't know if I'm going to have like a robotic George showing up at our SEMA booth. I'm not.
Why? You want robots, Alex?
No, just knowing, obviously, because here's the thing, right? I mean, Rupes is the company that obviously would make that, right? Like a Rupes, a Flex, a whatever, right? Like those are companies that you could see eventually in the future making those things, right? Not necessarily to be sold to detailers, but to be sold to like these reconditioning places like Jason's talking about in Sweden that he went to, or a lot of the automotive manufacturers, right? Because they're already buying the Rupes systems, right? So why not Rupes make an arm that just hooks up to all their stuff and makes it so much easier for that plant or that manufacturer or that thing? That's what I'm saying. I don't necessarily know that a detailer would. I mean, Jesus Christ, could you imagine? Detailers already bitch about paying $450 for a Bigfoot. Can you imagine when the LHR T1000 comes out and it's a
$14,000?
Yeah, exactly.
Polisher for paint.
Yeah.
I, you know, our company is working on a lot of stuff, but we're not working on that.
Okay.
You're safe.
There's no need for
yet.
Look, if it happens, it's not going to happen in our lifetime.
It could. I think it could. Dude, you got to imagine. Look how accelerated all of this AI stuff has happened just within like the past 2 years, dude. And you're talking like another 20. Come on, man. You can't tell me.
No, the pace of progress and the technology development pace, like how fast things are getting developed, the rate of that development is increasing every year.
Oh, yeah.
Things are happening faster and faster and faster. In fact, you know, I didn't listen to all of it, but I was listening to some documentary. But they're saying the rate is exponential because now that they're working on AI technology and developing, you know, real world applications for AI that are commercial, like it's not dreamy, you know, sci-fi stuff. It's right. How can we get AI to actually do something commercially and make money and all that? Well, when they were discussing the pace of that development, it's exponential because they develop AI and then they develop AI to make more AI.
Right. That's the whole Skynet thing. Skynet started learning from itself and it eventually took over. I mean, James Cameron tried to warn us about
this. He warned us years ago.
Exactly. People worried about the zombie apocalypse when they need to be worrying about this crap.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. I agree with you on that. I would be much more threatened by AI than some kind of a pandemic or zombie thing happening.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, let's take our last commercial break and then we'll come back and wrap this up. And yeah, we'll be right back.
Tell us about your little wheelie journey you had yesterday. How'd that go on the Viper chair?
I stole this Viper chair. A lot of people hadn't played with one, so I quite like the fact that they got a shot.
Nice.
A lot of guys were generally trying out going, huh, these things are cool. But it was good fun, especially on this floor. Like, this is a legit carpet and all the cables, it just
rolls right over.
Like, in its stride. Yeah, well done. It's a cool chair. I like it.
How comfortable are you right now?
Very.
Yeah. So do you think retailers should invest in a Viper chair?
You know what? My name is Alan Medcraft, and I would say go buy Viper.
Make sure to go to viperindustrial.com and at checkout, use the code DSP to save an additional $25 off your purchase. That's a stackable coupon, so whatever Viper is giving you off, get another $25 as well.
Do you own a detailing business but want to improve your success online? Or are you just starting out but not even sure where to begin? Let Detailers Roadmap guide you down the road to success. Detailers Roadmap is an all-in-one web solution for your auto detailing business. A custom website designed to help you attract and retain customers without breaking the bank. We'll write and design your website from start to finish and provide ongoing support to ensure it's working great for you. Our custom website packages include everything you need to succeed online. And with our local SEO services, we'll make sure your business gets noticed by customers in your area. So why wait? It's time to take your auto detailing business to the next level with an all-in-one website solution from Detailers Roadmap. Visit detailersroadmap.com to get started today.
Okay, and we're back. Sorry, Cam just texted me something.
Is it your closeout?
Maybe not.
Yes.
I have a closeout, so I'm not going to use his this time. I'll save it for next time. Okay. I have a closeout, though. So AI and robotics, it's here to stay. It's not in our yard or in our front yard right now, at least. Jason, I Jason Rose, I appreciate you once again for always coming on and doing these. I know you enjoy them, so that's why you keep coming back on. So we appreciate that.
Yeah.
But again, like I said, you know, like soon as Jason Bruno, you know, said, hey, we should do this, like obviously you're the first person I thought of because I think you're the probably the one of the few.
I think you're probably one of the only people that have that knowledge.
Yeah, because you're very selective. Yeah, you're going around in these different manufacturers and these different plants to see this kind of stuff. So, and obviously your knowledge is, you know, is out of this world. So are you AI is what we need to ask. Ooh. Next. Mm. Jason Rose knows too maybe much.
Wait, let me unplug myself here.
Yeah.
Listen, when I see, if we go to MTE and I, you know, start lifting up your shirt and stuff, just don't say anything. I need to see for myself. Yeah.
See if he looks like C-3PO under there with all the wires in his stomach. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably why Sarah is always around him, to make sure he's fully charged up.
Holds the batteries.
Yeah.
Well, it's my pleasure. I appreciate the invite. I was glad that the schedules aligned and we could do this. So thank you so much.
Yeah. No, I know it was getting close to SEMA, and I know you travel a lot, so I wasn't sure how busy you were going to be. So that's why I just kind of like, you know, always just try to lob it out there. And usually it's just like, you know, you tell us when you can do it and, you know, we'll figure it out from there kind of deal. Mm-hmm. So SEMA's coming up soon.
Yeah.
You want to tell us anything?
No.
He never does. He never does.
I mean, I would love to tell you stuff, but no.
Can we say at least Rupa's going to have anything new? Can you say yes or no on that?
We always have stuff new. So yeah, the answer is yes. We will have new stuff. Okay. The robot's name is George, and
exactly. Well, I'll make sure to stop by the booth, and I'm gonna do some, because Bruno's got to stay home because he's got SKU nerd. So I'll make sure to stop by the booth. I'm going to have some wireless mics to kind of go around and talk with people. So, I'd love to, maybe I'll either text you or get with Sarah and maybe try and schedule some time. Cause I know you're going to be just ridiculous busy if I just try to pop in, but maybe.
Yeah. Don't try that. That's
not no, maybe work. I can, maybe I can schedule something, you know, like five minutes, 10 minutes or something where I can pop in and hand you a mic and you can kind of talk about whatever is new. You know, we'll just do 5 or 10 minutes, and you know, that way it don't take up too much of your time. You can just say whatever's new, talk about it, and then get back to the long line of people that will be there to talk to you.
Definitely let's schedule it, because it'll be frustrating for you if you try and catch me for 5 minutes.
No, I remember the one and only time I went to SEMA in 2019, I think I stood around for like 30 minutes trying to just say hi to you and shake your hand. And I was like, never mind. But I got to the first time I got to actually meet you or whatever was at the Justin Day's party on that Tuesday night. We actually, I don't know if you remember, but we actually got to shake your hand and say hi and thank you for some cool techniques that I learned from YouTube from you. So those
industry events like that, they're pretty cool for that purpose of connecting with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why we're doing the Rennie Doyle one this year. Rennie's so good to us too. So I like being there, and of course everybody's usually at a Rennie Doyle event anyway. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll be there. We've got some of our team there as well. So we'll see you there.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, Jason, I appreciate it. I think everybody who's listening to this probably knows how to find you. If not, easy too, so I'm not gonna worry about asking you to okay, go back and listen to an older episode. We do greatly appreciate you for doing this. I'll see you at SEMA, and if you ever, you know, the invitation is always open for you. If you have an idea that you want to talk about or something you want to talk about, the floor is always yours. If we come up with something, obviously we'll reach out to you and see if you're interested in it.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I appreciate the invite.
No problem. Well, you have a good rest of your birthday night. I won't keep you too much longer. Jason and I will do our little wrap up and then we'll be out. So we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
See you, bud.
All right, man. So robots, they're here, whether you like them or not.
Yeah, they, like you said, they're in the backyard.
Yeah.
But they're a couple blocks away.
Yeah.
They ain't in the front yard yet.
That's okay. They'll be here soon. They're marching.
I mean, look, I said it in a comment on that post on Facebook that I don't think there's going to be a detail out there who's going to be able to afford something like that.
I don't know. I mean, I think there would be some detailers out there that, I mean, there's some big shops that are doing big time money that I think would be able to afford a $14,000 LHRT 1000 from Rupes, but you know, I don't think
1400, huh?
Well, that's what Jason was saying. He threw that number out there. So, you know, even though he says they're not working on it, but they probably really are. No, I'm just kidding. So yeah, I mean, I definitely don't think it'll happen. Like Jason said, right? Like it's the human interaction that clients want. I don't necessarily think that, you know, they're going to go to a shop looking for a robot to do the work.
Yeah, I just think there's a lot of factors that it will not allow that to happen to industry.
It's okay.
And that what you said is a factor.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. I mean, in like 40, 50 years when Skynet rises up and the robot detailers take over the world, it'll be okay.
We're going to be at war. It's a fucking detail war between humans and detailers.
Yeah.
It's going to be fucking keyboard warriors all day doing that kind of war. Nobody's going to go out and fight. Nobody fights in the industry. Everybody knows
that. All right. So, you know, the usual, we didn't talk about it. Please go check out the website, preferred vendor page, codes, save money, spend money.
The new shirt's on there, man, isn't it?
The new shirts will be out soon.
Okay. Soon, as in,
I'll make a post probably tomorrow or Friday. I'll make a post, with a link so you guys can purchase the new King 2023 North American Tour shirt. Or no, it's called the King 2023 Tour Shirt.
Call it the King shirt, man. It's the King
No,
shirt.
But it's a tour shirt.
King SEMA
shirt. It's a tour shirt. So that'll be out.
It's a fucking...
Get it before SEMA.
The new t-shirt, you'll see.
Yeah, get it before SEMA. You guys already kind of saw the rough draft of it. If you were on the discussion page, I put it out there. TikTok.
Dude. Let's go, people. Follow us on TikTok. We're almost there.
We're at 850. We're getting close. And what? YouTube. Detail Solution. All right. So TikTok is the Detail Solutions Pod. YouTube is the Detail Solutions Podcast. Go follow us there. You can see all these episodes, plus some of the. Are you putting the TikToks or the shorts on there for reels or lives or
the only reason why I don't do it is because they only allow 60 seconds and some of them are over 60.
Gotcha.
If they stop at 60 seconds, that's all you get. Okay. Sorry.
I gotcha. If you want to be on the show, please feel free to email us at detailsolutionspodcast@gmail.com. Just say, hey Alex, I want to be on the show. That's all it takes. Pretty easy about that. Just whenever, you know, I'll message you back with some dates and give you the option to pick which one works for you. Like, share, follow, subscribe, hit that notification button anywhere that you're listening to the podcast. Please leave us a 5-star review. That would be spectacular. He's Jason Bruno. I'm Alex Russell. And John Henry was a steel driving man.
That was your fucking outro?